Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are sons and daughters of the Reformation. Today, we celebrate the fact that Martin Luther, our spiritual father, broke from the bondage of the Roman Catholic Church in the mid-1500s. It began with a challenge to the efficacy and of indulgences in that watershed event of on October 31st, 1517, in Wittenberg, Germany, whereby he posted his 95 thesis on the church door. You know the story. It's part of your family history. You are sons and daughters of the Reformation. Your history includes such proud moments of bold and faithful witness, whereby Father Luther stood before Emperor Charles at the Diet of Worms, while being hard-pressed to recant his teachings, drawn from the Holy Scripture rather than church tradition, and he said, "Unless I can be convinced by God in Holy Scripture that I am in error, I cannot go against my conscience. Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." A paraphrase. You are sons and daughters of the Reformation. In fact, yesterday, Pastor Beck dressed up as Father Luther and told the kids attending our trunk or treat a little bit more about him and his theology using Luther's seal as a visual aid. In case you missed it, you can look over on both sides of the sanctuary and see at the center of the seal is a black cross that reminds us that Jesus alone died to take the punishment of our sin. There's a red heart that reminds us of God's great love put into action by sending Jesus to be our Savior. It's also red because it reminds us of the blood of Christ that was shed to save us. The white rose points us to the work of the Holy Spirit, who makes us pure and holy by creating and by sustaining faith in us as a gift by grace alone. The blue background is a picture of new life that God gives to us to live in faith alone, and the gold lining points us to our eternal inheritance. This seal visually summarizes the preaching, the teaching, and the writings of Father Luther, and will continue to be preached and proclaimed in true Lutheran churches around the world and here in this place. You are sons and daughters of the Reformation. Luther is your spiritual father. This is your background, your heritage, your history. So then it should come as no surprise to you at all that I will warn you about putting too much stock in your Lutheran background, heritage, and history. You won't be surprised at all if I tell you not to look to Luther, our spiritual father though he is, for your salvation. You should not be surprised when I encourage and I exhort you to look first and foremost to Christ Jesus for your salvation, because you will not find it anywhere else. When we heard the words of our Lord Jesus in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, he is talking to those Jews who had heard and who were believing in him, but not necessarily understanding what it was that they were believing. It may have been that they were believing in the things that Jesus was doing, like feeding the hungry, healing the sick, the good social ministry things that one does when one loves their neighbor. But believing in what Jesus was doing and who Jesus is, well, those are two distinct things. These people were believing in what Jesus was doing. But when Jesus began speaking about abiding in his word, being true disciples, being set free by the truth, they began to have some second thoughts. What do you mean, Jesus? Social ministry isn't enough? Am I not supposed to do good works for my neighbor as we see that you're doing? We're free to do that, are we not? Well, what's recorded of the people's conversation with Jesus is simply this. We are offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you will say you will become free? There are two things to note in this reply. If the people were responding in terms of social or political freedoms, they would have been completely oblivious to their current socio-political situation of being under Roman rule and reign. And they would have been completely ignoring their history and heritage, whereby the people of God had been under the rule and reign of the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and the Syrians. Now, these people were not stupid. Socio-political freedom is not what they were referring to. It was spiritual freedom that they believed that they enjoyed. They were sons and daughters of Abraham, after all, heirs of a promise made by God himself to be received on the last day and extending into all eternity. Oh, we have it right, Jesus. We are free already. We already have good theology. We're not enslaved to false worship. How can you begin to say that the truth will set us free? Because, Jesus said, if you sin, you're enslaved to it. In fact, out of your heart comes all evil desires, covetousness, idolatry, adultery. What you do is symptomatic of the underlying illness. And this illness is terminal. The sin that you do points to the fact that you are enslaved to it. And if you are enslaved to sin, well, then you will die. Your soul will be separated from your body, your life separated from your loved ones, and your entire being eternally separated from God's holy presence. There is only one cure. There is only one hope. There is only one way, one truth, one life. That is the Son. That is me, says Jesus. If I set you free, you will be free indeed. Now, this went for those who first heard Jesus, those whose hope was in their lineage of Abraham. This goes for you and I gathered here, and all who may be tempted to put our hope in our lineage of Luther. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free. There is no other way. We know it, and yet we fight it. We know that it's Jesus alone who sets us free, but we want to take part in our own liberation. This has been and will continue to be the struggle of our sinful flesh until we rest in the sleep of death or until our Lord comes again in glory. The people in Jesus' day trusted in their ethnic lineage, and they were tempted to put their trust in how well they kept the commandments. The church in Luther's day believed that the good works that they did would aid them in their salvation, and their financial contributions through the sale of indulgences would help purify them of their sin. Lutherans today, that is you and I, might be tempted to scoff at such attempts to aid in our salvation and with a sense of pride, pity those who were so bound before us. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is sin. See, any sin shows us again our bondage to it. Not just that, though. You know, it's easy to look at those who are outside the Lutheran Church as ones who have not believed or abided in Christ's word and thus are not true disciples of Jesus. It's easy to look at those who have sinned in a public way as worse sinners than you because that's not the sin that you participated in. It's easy to say, I believe that I'm saved by grace through faith and not of my own works, and now I am going to sit back and relax because it's all done for me. I don't need to work at all. And in so doing, fail at the call to serve your neighbor in love. Now, if you abide in Christ and his word, well, then you'll see the folly of this. You will see that you, just as I, are tempted to sin daily. If you abide in Christ and his word, you will see that the only way to be free of this body of sin and death is through the Son. Jesus, the true and faithful Son, was sent out of the Father's great love for his creation to pick up the horrible tab of your sin. Jesus bore the shame of your sin in his flesh. Jesus paid the price of your freedom with his blood. Jesus suffered the separation of sin's wage for you as he died and as he was buried. And Jesus set you free from the slavery to sin in his resurrection. And this freedom he delivered to you in your baptism, this freedom you live in as you abide in his word, which means that you do things like confessing your sin, hearing his word of absolution. You're fed with the living body and blood at the altar until the day that you close your eyes in the sleep of death and are at rest in the Lord, or until he comes again in glory to bring to fruition the good work that he has already begun in you and in all of creation. If you believe this, well, then it can rightly be said that you are sons and daughters of the Reformation. And most importantly, you are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father by the work of Christ on the cross. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. He is the true and the faithful Son of God. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you in faith to our Lord and Savior until that great and glorious day. Amen.